Doesn't anyone here have those figures?
They're in the New York office. But I can get them for you.
Melinda suddenly discovered how useful it could be to access everything on her desktop computer, even when she was 2,000 miles from her desk.
Got him.
PowerBook from Apple.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast Bass 30. Plus, some Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm Erfan, the sexy serenader, your host today. Joining me, he once told me the introduction of the AirPods was as significant as the intro of the wheel. And he would know he was present for both. Leander Caney is here.
Good one.
Oh, at least I got a small chuckle on that one. Also joining us, if he were an Apple product, he'd be a Mac Mini for sure, because he's short in stature, but he packs a wallop. Lewis Wallace is here.
That's great. Just going to start calling myself the Mini.
Also joining us, Johnny Ive credits his chiseled jawline as the inspiration for iPhone 5's chamfered edges. Buster Heine is here.
Oh, hey, what's up?
So chiseled.
I don't know about that, but I'll take it.
Not anymore? Well,
I've been eating a lot of, you know, burgers and beers, so
that's
I got
secret.
The double chin going right now.
You do?
Yeah.
Man, that is an underrated look. I love a good double chin.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. You know when someone looks down and it just like folds into multiple sections?
You're just like, damn, I wish I had a double
chin.
Like that.
Look how healthy that guy is. He is just full. He's just brimming with good health. That's all I think.
It's the fat Mackey inspired.
All right, let's see here. Where are my notes? What do we have on the docket today? So much good stuff, as the people at AMPM would say. It's going to be an exciting show as I'm looking for... Oh, here we go. I'm just vamping here. Okay, so here's what we got. Is the Apple TV about to become a gaming console? Some significant evidence that just came out leads me to think, yes, this might actually be a thing that's about to happen. I think a good thing. Also, we're going to talk about some big HomePod features that we've been waiting on just got delayed. Unfortunately, we'll tell you about those. Plus, I was falling in love with HomePod when I first got it, and some guy on Twitter has been asking me if it included a fleshlight in the bottom because I've been vamping about how much I love it so much. We got to talk about how I feel now, how we feel now. It's been 2 weeks now that we've owned it, and we've had some time to actually use it and get used to it, so we'll touch on that. I'm going to tell you how to score a really cheap 128 gigabyte 9.7-inch iPad. They're practically giving these things away right now. I think they're preparing for a new model that's coming up. We'll talk about that. If you stick around to the end, we're going to do an all-new under review. This is where we talk about the technology, the apps, the gadgets that we're currently testing out. One of my favorite products just got a huge update, and I'll be telling you about why I love it and about the new features that just got released. So stay tuned for that. Before we dive into the first story, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Do you have a cool idea? I have a cool idea, like I would say 5 or 6 times a day, like just game-changing, great ideas that would revolutionize technology, your life, but I do nothing with them. That's my problem. Well, you should not be like me. You need to do something with your great idea. And one of the best things you can do is get it online. Put your idea out there for all to see. You can do that so easily with Squarespace. Maybe you're a college student, you just need to get a job. One of the best ways to promote yourself is online, as you all know. You can set up a simple website quickly that would be powerful and impactful and market yourself to potential employers with Squarespace. You can sell products and services of all kinds, promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event. Are you going to be participating in a professional Segway Polo League? That's something that you should tell everyone about. You can popularize that. Is that a word? With your friends and family with a Squarespace website. Squarespace does this by giving you powerful, beautiful templates created by world-class designers that you could have set up quickly and easily. And a powerful e-commerce functionality is just built right in. So if you want to sell anything online, you can do that so easily. And now it has Apple Pay integration. There's built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer service. And everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. This is the magic of Squarespace. You build one website, your one site will look great on PCs, on Macs, on iPhones. You don't have to do any additional work. Plus, you can manage everything all by yourself because Squarespace is so easy to use. Head on over to squarespace.com if you are ready to start and get a free trial going. It's a two-week free trial. They only need your email address and a password, I think, to get signed up. No credit card or anything. And you can build a website. Use Squarespace, see how you like it. And if you want to continue your service after the trial, use code CULTCAST at checkout for 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. If you order a year of service, by the way, you get an additional discount, a significant discount, and you get 10% off that first purchase. So you get a huge discount if you buy a year of service. Squarespace.com. Okay, first story. Is Apple TV about to become a gaming console? Well, let me fill you in here. Apple has updated their TV logo trademark by adding all things related to gaming. This comes via a patently Apple story. So if you don't know anything about trademarks, when you trademark something, you have to trademark it for a specific category of products. You can't, I mean, I guess you could trademark it for everything, but every category costs money. So most people don't do that. I'm not even sure they would allow you to do that. Usually you have to be very specific on what your trademark covers. And last Friday, Apple updated their patent to include gaming stuff, which includes specifically video game consoles, controllers for video games, video output games, and, you know, televisions, things that hook up to televisions to play games, so on and so forth. This is a significant update, and it could bring a whole new level of gaming to the Apple TV, because the gaming on Apple TV has been, I mean, it's so bad. I wouldn't even say it exists. It's just terrible. I wonder if anyone is actually gaming on an Apple TV, because you just press the little remote button to make a little person jump around. Not exactly exhilarating gaming, in my opinion. Buster.
Yeah.
True or false? Are we going to see this?
I don't think so, because we've been talking about this for so long.
We have been talking about this forever, haven't we?
And it seems like Apple should have made this play like 4 years ago instead of now. So I would be super surprised if they do.
I don't know why they wouldn't. The Apple TV is already so powerful. Why not? Apple should just release an actual Apple-branded controller, video game controller, and then have the API available so that developers can release their games and modify their games to make it work on Apple TV. They've already got the infrastructure to release games like Steam does, and why not let people play games on their Apple TV? I just don't understand why they haven't done this already.
It supports PlayStation-style controllers, right?
Yeah, it does. But it didn't when it first was released, which I think is what shot them in the foot.
And when they did support other controller, you had to have all functionality still be available on the remote, or that's used to be how it was for a long time.
That was which so is what, stupid!
What killed
why
games.
Did they do that?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't met any... Well, I did let my roommates one time, I did find them playing Crossy Road forever on Apple TV, because like you said, it's like you hit one button and that's it, or two. Mm-hmm. And so they would get competitive about that for like a week, but then they got over it. But the gameplay on Apple TV is horrible. There's no reason to buy games. So until Apple actually like embraces it, I don't think it would take off. So I would be shocked if they did.
When it first came out, I mean, there was a lot of talk about it, leading to a big explosion in casual games, and that it was kind of a genius move because it was going after, like, you know, regular people who weren't hardcore gamers. But that hasn't materialized at all, has it?
Right.
Well, that's because casual gamers aren't interested in gaming all that often. That's why they're called casual gamers. I mean, the whole premise defeats itself, right? It's like, we're going to get these people who don't really want to play games to play more games. It's like, no, they don't want to play more games.
I tried to sit down and play some games, and I played some shooting game, and I immediately got shot, and then it was just so frustrating that...
I would have liked to have seen that.
I gave it up. I was actually thinking, do you remember Ratchet & Clank? You ever play that?
Oh yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, that was a great game. I actually got really pretty good at that in the end.
Wow, I never would have pegged you as a Ratchet and Clank gamer.
I'd love to play that a game like that again. I don't know why. I had a dream about it last night, which is why I bring it up. But if there was a game like that, I would play that on the Apple TV.
You know what they could do is Nintendo could. So Nintendo has like these classic consoles they release, right? They have an SNES model. They have a classic Nintendo model. What if Nintendo worked with Apple to release this as just an app, so you can boot up SNES emulator, they wouldn't call it that. Yeah. And then on your Apple TV, you could play a selection of classic Nintendo games. I think that would sell like crazy, because Nintendo only creates these consoles in very limited supply, of course. And so hardly anyone can get their hands on one, and then they're gone, and Nintendo loses out on all this profit. But if they could do it via software, via an Apple partnership, I hope Eddie Q is listening. Clearly, Apple executives listen to this show because they're favoriting all my tweets. So I know some of them listen. But I don't know if Eddie Q does. But Tim, if you're listening, tell Eddie about this idea, because this is a classic Eddie Q deal. This is a deal only Eddie Q can make. He walks in there with his cuffs all haphazardly rolled up. They're fancy. Nintendo's going to give him what he wants. I know that for sure. So we'll see if this materializes. This is something that we have been talking about for a long time, and every time we talk about it, nothing happens. So this could be a situation like that. But we've seen some significant progress here, so I think that there is a glimmer of hope. Let's talk about multi-room AirPlay Buster.
Oh.
We got a big delay this week, didn't we, for HomePod? Yeah,
sorry. HomePod lovers out there.
Which is all of us, but Buster. Buster is a HomePod lover. He just doesn't have one yet.
Yeah, I just haven't got to hear it yet.
When you get one, you'll be converted.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like Apple pulled the support for pairing multiple or sending AirPlay 2.0?
Yeah, audio to multiple speakers.
Yeah, which I would be pretty bummed about that, because didn't you say that's one of the big things you're looking forward to with HomePod is like being able to pair them?
That's Leander's big feature. Mine is stereo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't know when this is coming back, do we? They didn't say anything.
No, and from what I've heard, I hadn't played with the other betas for iOS 11.3, but it was pretty buggy in the first two betas that it was available in. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's why they've pulled it.
I'm actually not that disappointed about this as of yet, because as soon as they do the stereo support, I'm going to buy another HomePod, and I really don't want to spend another, almost $400 at the moment.
Yeah.
to get another HomePod.
Good call.
But this is delaying that as well. So multi-room audio is delayed, and then stereo support for HomePod is delayed. And I can only imagine, once we get these things in stereo mode, Leander.
Oh, boom. Yeah.
Gonna blow your toupee off. You're gonna look like Bill Murray in Kingpin at the very end.
I haven't seen that.
I'm just joking, Leander. You have a beautiful head of hair. That was a mean thing to say. You don't wear a toupee, do you?
I did. I wouldn't say on this show. Amen.
Well, if you do, it's very convincing. But multi-room audio is one of those classic Sonos features, isn't it, Leander? Are they one of the first companies that really made it easy to do that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. That's definitely where I came across it. Yeah, definitely. Sonos.
And once Apple adds this support to HomePod, how many HomePods are you going to buy for all the rooms of your home?
One for every corner of every room.
Every corner? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably get another one. I'll probably get two. I don't know. I've already got a whole bunch of Sonos speakers, and I'm loath to give it up.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, right? What are you going to do with all those Sonos speakers if you start switching over to
Apple?
Well,
my kids wanted to take them to college, you know. Like, they were home for the weekend. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Take the $700, play bar, yeah, to put in your filthy... So some moron can spill beer on it.
That's right.
And stuff a cigarette on top of it.
Yeah, exactly. Store an ashtray right on it, or just put their cigarettes right on top. So that's an interesting dilemma you have there, because you've got some really expensive Sonos stuff. Are you going to go full on Apple HomePod, or are you going to stick with your Sonos stuff?
Well, I'm going to stick with the Sonos because, like you said, it's been expensive. And I hate to sound like Richie Rich, but I used to add a component a year. You know what I mean? Like I'd buy one thing a year, and after several years, it's added up into five or six speakers we've got now around the house, including they have this beautiful subwoofer and then the play bar under the TV. So the TV sounds astonishing. It really rumbles the whole house. It's great. It's fantastic. And I'm not sure that even though the HomePod is great, I don't think it's gonna compete with the Sonos play bass and the subwoofer.
Yeah, I wonder if Apple will eventually release a subwoofer, as you call it. I would love to see them add some type of support for theater, so you could place these around your living room and have surround sound. That's like a dream feature right there, because these sound so good and they're wireless. They're so clean. You could just place them around your room and not have any wires going anywhere. And I do think eventually and I'm already waiting for this. We're going to get a HomePod Mini, maybe. I think we're going to get a HomePod Pro eventually, something that's larger, but we'll see about that. So if you're waiting for stereo support, if you're waiting for multi-room audio, we don't know when that's going to come out. It looks like it was pulled from the beta, and who knows when we'll actually see it. But as long as we're on the topic of HomePod.
I'm just curious, what do you think is so tricky about it?
I don't know.
Well, I'm highly technical, so I could tell you why it's not working, but it would go over everyone's heads. Here's what I think is going on. I think the reason that it's not working is because they barely got this thing out the door, and they were trying to just get it working at a base level.
But they demoed it, didn't they? When they were showing journalists the HomePod, didn't they demo it to journalists? At least a stereo pair they did, right?
I believe they did, yeah.
Yeah, I believe they did.
But showing a demo in a laboratory, I think, is probably less complicated than having it work in everyone's homes.
Right, and especially because all the beamforming and the dynamic adjustment according to the makeup of the room. I bet that's really tricky when you've got two speakers. So I bet they have to talk to each other to balance that. So I bet it is tricky. And then multi-room, I bet, is even trickier because then you've got the same sound coming from all kinds of different places.
And they have to be synced. That is tricky, isn't it? Gosh, imagine the math involved in that computation, because you have one speaker, you walk into another room, and yet you can still hear the other speaker, and yet the audio has to match.
Yeah.
That sounds incredibly complicated.
I wonder if it's machine learning now that does it.
It seems like machine learning is running everything now. Wouldn't surprise me. Let's talk about the intelligence of the HomePod and any other observations we've had during this two-week period that we've been using it. Lewis, what are your thoughts now? You said you got the HomePod out of the office. You have it in your home now. What are your thoughts now that you've been using it a couple weeks?
Yeah, in the office, to me, it sounded a little just a little shrill when I was up close to it. Now I've got it sitting like right beside my TV. Haven't hooked it up to that yet. Don't know why. Just stupid, I guess. Lazy. Mm. But it sounds great. You know, we've got a fairly large living room and an open floor plan. It sounds good in the living room. It sounds good in the kitchen. It's just that little cantaloupe-sized speaker, right? It's impressive. I turn it on. The wife listens to it. She goes, I said, it sounds pretty good, right? She goes, yeah, it sounds great.
Hey. She's a musician too, right? So you should add that.
Oh, yeah, and
she's got golden ears.
We were even playing classical music on it. It sounded good. It sounds, a ton better than I don't have a legit home stereo at this point now. I mean, I've got a sound bar set up with my TV, and anytime I play music through that, I'm just like, oh God, this is horrible. It sounds horrible. The HomePod sounds fantastic compared to that. And the only thing that was kind of strange, I bring it home, right? I turn it on. Set it up. Seems like it's going fine. I say, okay, play. I asked for some specific thing, and it's like, sorry, I can't do that. Okay, that's interesting. I said, okay, play Led Zeppelin. I think surely it knows Led Zeppelin, right? I can't get that song title wrong.
Are you using Apple Music?
Yeah.
Really?
It says, sorry, I can't do that. I'm like, what's going on?
Huh.
So and I'm still not sure exactly what happened. I looked. It was in my home app. It automatically connected to my home network. I instantly got on, I tried, fiddled around with it for a couple minutes, and I instantly go online, go to Apple, say, hey, I'd like to set up a support phone call. They called me like 5 minutes later, talking to the person. And literally by the time that I talked to them, it has somehow worked itself out. And the thing was working. I still to this day don't know what happened, but somehow
AI programmed itself to become smarter.
I don't know if it was just like, slowly copying settings over from my phone or what, but I mean, it was kind of, I felt kind of silly, It was not hard at all to set up. It was simple, just as simple as the other one. It just, I was expecting it to be instantaneous. It took it a couple minutes to get its act together, but
it's definitely not as smart as the Amazon ECHO is. Oh, I have it unplugged. I can say its name now. It's not as far as the Amazon Echo is, for sure.
The plug.
But I think the Amazon Echo.
Did you really pull the plug?
I pulled the plug on the Echo. It's not. I got tired of it tuning in during these conversations. I think if anything, it shows how good the Amazon Echo is. The Amazon Echo is incredibly smart. For instance, You can ask it to do things that you would never have guessed it actually could do, and it will actually do those things. Like the other day, I asked it to play white noise, and it played white noise. I was like,
yeah,
oh, that's
I did
cool.
that too, actually, funny enough.
And then I asked it to play brown noise, which is lower in frequency, and it played brown noise. And I was like, wow, it knows how to do that too. And my daughter loves Disney music now. She's really into like Elmo, which is Sesame Street, and then, you know, like just Mickey Mouse in general. I don't even know how she got into Mickey Mouse. How did Mickey get his claws, his creepy little paws onto my daughter? I don't know, because we don't even have any Disney stuff in our house. But she knows who Mickey Mouse is, and she wants to listen to his music. So in the house, you can just say, Echo, play me Mickey Mouse. And it will just start playing Mickey Mouse music, like Disney music. Or you could say, Echo, play me Elmo. And it starts playing all these songs from Sesame Street that Elmo is singing in. That's stuff that the HomePod is not intelligent enough to do at this point.
Sure, I mean, it might be.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Ask it to play you some brown noise right now and see what it does.
Well, I don't know about brown noise.
I tried it, it wouldn't work.
Right, kind of freak ass for that.
Hey, Siri, play some brown noise.
Playing brown noise.
It's not what I meant.
It's going to pull up a song.
I can't hear it. I think it's playing a song.
Yeah, it's probably
trying
to play
It's playing brown noise. Listen.
Is it actual brown noise?
Yeah.
Mine didn't do it.
And what was the other thing? Hey, Siri.
Ask it to play Mickey Mouse. See what it does.
Play some Mickey Mouse.
Okay. Here's the album, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse by various artists.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse by various artists.
You don't have Apple Music, right?
No, I don't have Apple Music.
There you go.
So the music thing doesn't surprise me. But why does it need... Stop. Why do you need Apple Music to play brown noise?
Well, that I can't answer.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that it actually does that.
So I'm going to hook up Apple Music and give that a try for like a week and just see what I'm missing. Because Spotify works fine if you're willing to AirPlay, but you can't bark commands at it like you can with the Amazon Echo because it just doesn't connect with Spotify. Which right. sucks. It's still, it's one of the biggest omissions for the speaker. I've made ways to get around that, and it's working well enough that I still absolutely love the speaker. I love the speaker. Man, I love this speaker. It sounds so nuanced and delicate, but vibrant and focused and soft, and the delineation between the different musical frequencies on it. It just blows me away still. I thought maybe I was overreacting when I gave my spiel in my YouTube video where I reviewed the sound for the first time. Now I'm confident I made all the right remarks. I feel exactly the same way. In fact, if anything, I'm even more happy with it now that I've run through a lot of different music than I was before, because it's just affirmed my first impression that is, this is one of Apple's best products they've ever made. And this is made by the same team who made the AirPods. There's something magical going on that team, Leander. You got to get in. You got to get a mole on that team. Write a book about them.
Well, they said in one of those interviews,
some outstanding products.
Yeah, they've been hiring a whole bunch of audio experts, and it's kind of funny. It came after the Beats acquisition, right? I can't imagine that Beats did it, but maybe it did. You know,
I thought there was somebody said in one of their reviews, they asked if the Beats team had any input on the HomePod, and they said they let a few Beats team members listen to it at one point, and that was it.
Good idea.
That's it.
That was good. That was a good call. I don't know about the Beats team tuning my HomePod.
Right. The bass is too low.
Yeah, there's not nearly enough bass. All it is going to be is bass when they're done with it. It's going to shake your windows, and Dr. Dre be like, yeah, that's good. And that'll be the end of it.
No, he's like, that's the bomb, right?
Yeah, it's the bomb.
That's the shit.
That's what Tim Cook will say on stage. He's like, Dr. Dre said it was the bomb, y'all. That's how you know it's good. Okay, well.
Do we need to explain that joke to people?
Which joke?
Well, the joke was that's what he said, wasn't it? When he first heard some Beats headphones, that was his only input.
Wait, I don't even know what you're talking
about
right now.
There was a story. There was like one of those. Someone wrote a feature about Beats and you know, Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre and apparently that was his input. They went to a meeting. They showed him the first pair of Beats. He was listening to them, and then that was his only comment.
And that was Dre's remark about the Beats.
That's the bomb.
He made $1 billion.
I know.
He made $1 billion.
Billion.
Well, he got his picture taken wearing it, right? Showing him off, and he gave it to a lot of his friends.
That's the bomb. That's like that. No one has said that since 1998 to actually denote anything that's cool. But Dr. Dre is still rolling with it. That's the bomb, y'all.
Maybe we should start.
We should bring it back. Have you guys seen Jumanji, by the way? Did you guys ever see Jumanji?
Oh my god, are you gonna talk about this again?
No one's
why don't we just turn it into the Jumanji / HomePod rave podcast?
If there's a way that they can meld those two products, that would be the perfect connection between art and technology, in my opinion. But anyway, I was gonna make a really great Jumanji reference about people using sayings from the 1990s, which was really funny, but I can't because you guys have terrible taste in movies. And I can't make the reference. I don't want to spoil anything for you. Okay. Let's see here. Let's move on. Leander is going to tell us. We forgot to pitch this at the beginning of the show. Leander is going to tell us about why he switched from 1Password to Dashlane as his password manager of choice. Now, I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Leander, because I feel like everybody uses 1Password. I've been using it for years.
Right. It's the big granddaddy of password managers on Mac and iOS.
Yeah, it's the main one that everyone uses. It's the most polished. But you've moved on. Why are you using Dashlane? What do you like about Dashlane that's better than 1Password?
I moved on because I tried to get a family account for 1Password. You know, I wanted my kids to use it and my wife. You know, I wanted to get the whole family in on the password action. I couldn't figure it out. I know it's kind of crazy. I couldn't figure out how to enable a family or a group account.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually sent them a customer service request, you know, like, how do I enable this thing? And I think I got a link and I clicked on something and I started it. I can't remember. But anyway, it was like, it just sort of crystallized that even though I'd used it forever and I had been using 1Password forever, that was like, I don't know. It's just like, okay, it's time to take a look, see what else is going on. And so I did a little bit of quick Googling around, and there was a lot of recommendations for Dashlane. And so you can download a free trial, which I did. I exported my passwords from 1Password and imported them into Dashlane. That took about, you know, a minute. And immediately you are given this security dashboard, which is a really clear graphical representation of how strong or how weak your passwords are. And, you know, I've got about 500 odd passwords. And a lot of them are weak, intentionally weak. Like if I sign up at a site that I know I'm, you know, is a throwaway site or I don't care about the security, I use the same password because I know I can remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used the same password, you know, everywhere. And 1Password, you know, it has done a good job of creating and storing really strong passwords for the stuff I care about, you know. This security dashboard, it was like, it said, you know, you have a bunch of weak and reused and possibly compromised passwords, you know, and if you click here, it'll fix it for you. And it had a list of maybe, 30, 40, 50 sites where it will log into that site with your old password.
What?
Update it to a new strong password and then remember it. And I was like, and I just sat there and watched it go through site after site after site. And I was like, my God, this is how password management should be. You know, no effort on my part. Now, there's two qualifications. One is that it only works with a number of compatible websites. So it doesn't work with every website.
Okay.
It's only with websites that they're working with that are compatible. And I believe there's a list on Dashlane's website. I think it's about 150. Maybe it's more. It might be several hundred websites. A couple of them, several of them, it failed. For some reason, I don't know why. Maybe the old password was wrong. It didn't update the password. So, you know, those ones are going to go through and do manually. What was the third thing? The third thing, you know, and then also apparently, I don't know, so some LastPass and some of the other password managers also do this. And also there's features like this in 1Password. Like 1Password has this thing called Watchtower, and it'll tell you if sites have been compromised. It'll also tell you if you have weak passwords. It'll tell you where you have duplicate passwords. But I always found it kind of buried. It's there, and I'm sure a lot of 1Password users know about this, and they probably think I'm an idiot for not ever using it. But
no, they wouldn't think that.
I knew it was there, but you know, I never took advantage of it. And it doesn't do. And as far as I know, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, it doesn't do the automatic updating. you know, where to log in for you and update the password on your behalf.
I've never heard of another application doing that.
And so I was talking to a Dashlane rep, and they said that they're trying to, they know that this is their killer feature, and they're trying to expand this. And he said, yeah, you know, like, sit tight, we'll have an announcement soon. Can't give you any details, but, you know, we're working a really, you know, he gave me the impression that was like they were really trying to really, really expand this. But, you know, for the first few minutes, my experience with Dashlane was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. You know, it couldn't have been better. Especially the automatic updating, and I thought it was going to do the whole lot. I thought it was going to fix all my password problems in one go. So I was a little bit disappointed that it was only, you know, several hundred or dozens, you know, dozens of passwords instead of like all the dodgy passwords I have. But you know, it gave me a security score of about 60%, and immediately after I did that, it went up to about 80%. And 80%, they said, is like very, very safe, quote, very safe. And then I looked and I had a quick look through the ones that I hadn't fixed, and it was like a lot of these throwaway sites, you know, like forums and stuff like that I never go to, where I intentionally use this dodgy password. So, you know, I'm fairly comfortable in thinking that my security is pretty good.
Let's talk about the price, Leander, because this is where I think it's going to get controversial. But this is something that a lot of app companies are doing now. You can only buy this with a subscription, right? You can't just pay like a flat fee and just use it that way.
Right. It's a subscription service. Yeah. And, but you know, I went over and looked at 1Password yesterday because I was answering some comments in the post. Guess what? 1Password is now subscription only.
So I must be grandfathered in because I purchased it.
Yeah.
But I wonder at what point they're going to try and move me over to a subscription too, because I'm not paying a subscription. I'm just not going to do it. I hate, and especially I always consider there's the Netflix baseline, right? I always think Netflix charges me $10 a month, and look how much they're giving me. How much is this particular app or whatever giving me? Is it worth the price they're asking in comparison to Netflix? And it almost never is. Plus, I just hate getting nickel and dimed. I feel like all app companies are trying to nickel and dime me now. Like, they were like, well, our service is worth $3 or $4 a month. And I'm like, no, it's not. It really is not worth $3 or $4 a month. It's not even worth, you know, $3 or $4 a year, in my opinion. It's weird. Like, if you charge me $10 for an app and you updated it every year and I was buying the updates, I'd probably be fine. But if you told me you wanted to charge me at like 80 cents a month, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know about that. Well, right. The way it looks, huh?
Well, how much did 1Password cost? It used to be like, what, $50?
Yeah, it was expensive.
But then they would also charge you separately. That was just for the desktop, right? And then they would charge you separately for the iOS app.
Yes, and the Windows version, which I never purchased, which I loathe that I don't have it because I wish I had it on all platforms.
And then how often did they do a big update? Like, that was probably once every couple of years.
I don't even know, but that'd be my guess, yeah.
And then, so then you'd pay for the update, you know, so... I think, you know, by the time you sort of calculate it out, you're probably paying something similar. Maybe it's a bit more expensive to pay the monthly fee.
Maybe not.
But I think the monthly fee is, you know, you're paying for, like, behind the scenes, I think they're doing a lot of work. You know, they're keeping it constantly updated. They're adding new features. It's a much better model for them. You know, like, if you put yourself in the developer's shoes, you know, instead of
that's
like...
That's funny, because that's exactly what I was thinking, too. I'm like, this sounds great for them. Well, it sounds terrible for us.
Like, I think a lot of developers, you know, they cut... especially, and I think it's really hard in the iOS world, especially, because the App Store model, you know, they can't charge those kind of prices. You know, there's a sort of race to the bottom. And it's, you know, like, if every couple of years you put out a big release, I mean, you've got to make enough money on that release to see you through to the next big release. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think it's very sketchy and very difficult for developers, especially smaller developers, you know, like indie developers, like, you know, Agile Bits that does 1Password, to maintain this. It's much easier for them to have it like an ongoing income stream, and then they can, you know, then they can sort of keep working on the features. And I think as long as they're actively involved in paying it, you know, in keeping this thing running, I don't mind paying it. I think it's a good service.
I guess with certain services, it seems like it makes more sense to pay a monthly fee. Like, if you look at Adobe products, because they're so complicated and they're always adding new features. But with something like Password Manager, are they really adding any significant new features? It's like, what does it do that another password... app doesn't already do? It manages your passwords, right? How many new amazing features have come into that?
They're keeping tabs on vulnerabilities for a start, like on big data breaches. Like, if there's a data breach, they send you an alert. You know, uh-huh. this service that you're signed up for has just had a data breach. You should change your password immediately. Huh. And admittedly, like, 1Password does that, and I'm pretty sure all of them do it. So
really, but, you know, I've never gotten an alert from 1Password. Maybe it's because I'm not subscribed.
I think you have to go into the app, and then it'll give you. There's like a little red bar at the top. See, this is one of the things I didn't like about One Password. It was kind of passive, you know. Like the other thing I liked about Dashlane was that it has all these little sort of blinking lights, you know, that alert you to things to do. And it might drive some people crazy, but I found it really useful. You know, it was like, oh look, you know, this. It was like check out, you know, your compromised passwords, you know, and then you click on that tab, and then there's a list of all the you know, the sites and passwords that might have been compromised. Thanks, you know, good advice. I'll right. take care of that right now.
Thank God for the blinking lights.
Well, they're like blinking, you know, icons.
It's the blinkiest. Like
it's not like at the end of Alien, you know, when it's like all strobes and there's gas flying out of your machine, you know. But it's handy. Like it brings your attention to things that you might otherwise ignore.
So you've been happy with it. You're fine paying the $3. Is it $3 a month?
Well, we're on a business account. It's $4 per user per month.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But the business account, too. I mean, the business account is really useful. You know, we had terrible security, like sharing all the passwords for, you know, for Twitter and for Instagram and, you know,
and YouTube and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And so and we would just text it to each other. And then every time there was like a problem, someone would change it. And then I'd have to like text it to everybody with what the new password was. And it was just causing a big headache. Now we can just, you know, stick it into the Dashlane and share it with everybody.
That is actually very useful, so yeah. that your passwords get updated for everyone if someone changes it or something.
Right. Well, and then, yeah.
That's handy. All right. Well, where would people go if they want to check out Dashlane?
Dashlane.com. You can download a free trial.
Dashlane.com.
And it's actually free. It's free for one device. So, okay. But if you want to sync your passwords, like, which, you know, I think almost everybody will want to do because everyone has more than one device. That is charged. And what's the price again? I've forgotten for the regular.
$333 per month for the premium.
Billed yearly. So $36 a year, I think, or 30, yeah. or maybe $40 a year or something.
Sorry, it's $39.99 a year, right? Okay, which I think is pretty reasonable. You know,
for Buster, $40 a year for password manager. Your thoughts?
No, God, are you kidding me? Like- That's like what we were saying. Like, God, I hate all the apps that do the model charging now just because it all adds up.
Yeah, I've had some listeners on Twitter just get pissed about this. People are mad that developers are charging these yearly or these monthly fees to use apps that used to be purchased, you know, and then you just use them however long you want.
Yeah.
I do like the old model better. I understand the new model is better for developers, I'm sure. But I like the idea that you can purchase an app and then you can just use it for as long as you want. And if you don't want the new features, then you just don't need to worry about it. You can just continue using your old version and, you know, live your life and be blissful and not have to worry about it. And it does feel like everybody is trying to get you onto a subscription service these days. Everyone wants a few bucks a month. Yeah. And there's just only so many services you can pay before it's just too much, right? You're paying for all this stuff and you're like, what is all this stuff? I've got like $33, $5, and $10 charges per month. Am I even using any of this crap anymore? It just feels like it's just too much. It's overwhelming. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we were thinking about doing, you know, like a membership for Cult of Mac, so you get an ad-free site plus a bunch of other benefits, you know. But
I'd sign up for that.
Do it, definitely.
That's
do
worth it.
It.
How much? $50 a month?
Worth it.
Worth it. That's too low, I think. You need to be charging.
That's for the basic one. You know, the premium one will be $100 a month.
Yeah, that's right. You should include a live Elkanie cam where there's just a cam on you all day. And if you get access to the site, you can just watch Elkanie at any moment. You can just see what he's doing. You can just sit there. He'll be sitting there in silence, just either sleeping or working or likely drinking.
Napping,
but
yeah.
You can just see what he's doing. I would pay to see that.
Well, that's a great idea. Maybe we should do that. If anyone has any thoughts about that, any listeners, you know, like about
Cult Cam. You have cameras around the office.
Well, one of them was definitely like, you know, like becoming, you know, I said cult cast, you know, like if they listeners could ask questions and maybe come on the show, you know, call us up.
Pay to be on the show?
Well, you know, that's one of the membership benefits. You know, we're just sort of open to come on.
If you're good, we'll let you host. Yeah. Hell, we won't even show up. You can just run this. It might be better. It might be better that way.
That's right. You can pay to run it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. You got to pay us, but, you know, don't get over.
Well, we're
going to
do meetups, and there's going to be a party as well at WWDC.
When is WWDC?
Coming up soon. Like
first week of June, probably. June.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay, let's see here. What else we got? Oh, let me run through this iPad stuff really fast. So it looks like there's an iPad refresh coming, but it doesn't look like it's going to be for the iPad that you've been probably waiting for, which is the one with Face ID and you know, the larger screen and all that kind of stuff. So there was a filing with the Eurasian Economic Commission. I know what you're thinking, what the hell is that? Well, it's this commission like the FCC here in the US that Apple has to register with if they want to demo new devices or sell new devices. So there are some new iPad models that have been registered with them. The filings don't tell us much, but we do think they're going to be the lower end iPads because the 9.7-inch iPad hasn't been updated in forever. And I have noticed that there have been retailers that are liquidating these things right now. In fact, I just bought one for my mom because I couldn't believe how low the prices were. So Walmart in particular, Walmart.com they've had two sales on the iPad 9.7-inch where they were selling the 128 gigabyte version for the same price as I think it's 32 gigabytes is the lower end model. So regularly they're $430 for the 128 gigabyte versions. And they've been selling them for $350, which is an insane price. They've had two sales already. And then also there was another company that was selling them for $280 in a flash sale. So it looks like Apple is just trying to liquidate their stock so they can, you know, release new models. And here's what you should do if you are interested in getting yourself a cheaper iPad. This is probably only going to work for US customers, I'm guessing, but there might be European retailers that are going to be liquidating these things as well. So I've mentioned this site before, slickdeals.com, slickdeals.com. It's a site that I use all the time to find deals on stuff. And what you can do is you can enter in keywords. First, you need to sign up for an account. Enter in a keyword like iPad. And then whenever a hot deal gets posted on the website, because the entire website is basically just people tracking the best deals on the internet. When an iPad deal comes up, it will ping your phone. You'll actually get a notification from the app or they'll email you, whichever you'd like. And it will tell you the price of the iPad and where it's available for sale. So you could be one of the first people to go take advantage of the sale. I do this for all different kinds of products and I've gotten so many great deals through this method. And I just leave a notification out there. So I'll just tell it to notify me. Like there's one particular mic I've been trying to get my hands on. It goes on sale like once every like year or two. So I just have the notification pending. If this thing ever goes on sale at any website, just let me know. And I'm waiting for the deal to land. And when it does, boom, getting my hands on it. But that would be the best strategy, I think, to get your hands on one of these cheap iPads. I think there's going to be more sales coming up because Apple probably has a ton of these things they're going to try and get rid of. And, you know, the 9.7-inch iPad is a great iPad, and it has 128 gigabytes of space. It's like the perfect kid machine. If you've got kids, this is exactly what you need. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up with an all-new Under Review, the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and talk about what we like, what we don't like. Lewis.
Wow, you there? First?
You want to go first?
Sure. Yeah.
What do you got for us, man?
All right, well, I've been testing this thing for a long time. I'm actually embarrassed I haven't gotten around to writing it up. But it's a HomeKit lock called QuickSet Premise.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with this?
And what's the premise? Sorry.
So, you know, there's a handful of HomeKit locks out there. This one's pretty good. It's solidly built, extremely reliable, kind of looks traditional, you know, looks like a standard kind of lock set that you would see on a door, but it adds a lot of modern conveniences. You can unlock it with a touchpad on the door, which is awesome if you're, you know, if you just want to tell somebody, hey, you know, get into this thing. You can send people a digital key. You can use Siri to open it.
So it's HomeKit enabled.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. Like if you want something with HomeKit, you know, there's a handful of options, but there are limitations with HomeKit, right? I mean, you can set it up geofence, but it doesn't just automatically open when you walk up. You have to, it'll send you a little alert. Hey, do you want to run the automation? You have to basically say, yes, unlock my door, which is kind of a pain. The other thing about HomeKit, and this is one of the reasons why this review is so delayed for me, is it really depends on how close it is to your Apple TV with the device. And this mm-hmm. varies with different things, but this particular lock, I had it installed on a first floor door. no more than 30 feet away from my Apple TV, which should be within range. But, you know, it's just flaky. Like, one time it'd work, next time it wouldn't work. One time it'd work, next time it wouldn't work. It's driving me absolutely crazy. I'm like, you know, is this just a piece of crap? What's wrong? Well, I finally, you know, obviously moving a lock, it takes a little bit. I mean, it took me a while. So I moved up to our main door, which is up on the second floor, and works fantastically. Never, it's never not available. It never craps out. It works every single time. Now, I have had some weird experiences, and this—I don't think this has to do with this lock. I've had things where I come home. What I do now is typically I pull up in my car. While I'm getting out of the car, I say, "Hey Siri, unlock the front door," and you know, it either works immediately or.
Yeah. I was waiting for that.
Yeah, I had to do it. And typically it works really quickly. Sometimes I have to wait a little bit. Every once in a while, it says, "Oh, sorry, it's not responding." So I go upstairs and maybe I use my Apple Watch and issue the command again, or maybe I just am in such a, you know, I can't get to my watch, right? It's underneath a motorcycle coat, so I just sort of punch in the key password, right? No problem. Opens up the door. I lock it. I've had it happen where after I lock it, it's like, okay, now I'm doing it. And it unlocks it. So I think that HomeKit itself is a little bit freaky, a little bit flaky.
It's manic sometimes.
Yeah, and, you know, that is a little bit unnerving. That is not what you want out of this. Anyway, this lock, to me, seems good. It's available in satin nickel or Venetian bronze. Costs $220. $220 or so, something like that. So I got to say, I mean, I give it a qualified. It's pretty damn good. You know, if you are familiar with HomeKit, you know that there might be some issues.
Well, it's HomeKit.
Right. You know, it's horrible to have to say that, you know, because, I mean, the people that I've talked with who make these things say HomeKit is not these particular locks, but HomeKit devices, they say Apple's doing HomeKit perfectly. It's the best. I think it has to do with Bluetooth. I can't wait actually to get the HomePod hooked up. And I think that maybe it might have a little bit longer Bluetooth range than my old one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the devices are old, so who knows? I don't know enough about Bluetooth to really speak to it. And it's kind of embarrassing. I feel like I have
That's
to.
That's interesting. I actually just switched from using my Apple TV to my HomePod as my HomeKit hub here in the Cultcast studio. And I feel like it's been working really well.
What was involved in the switch over there? I mean,
nothing. I just unplugged my Apple TV. That was it.
And it just took over, huh?
I think you can go into your home app and mess with the settings if you want. I haven't played around with that yet, but yeah, it just works, so to speak.
it's funny. You know, I had that conversation with the Apple tech support about the HomePod when I brought it home and it wasn't working just immediately, right?
Yeah.
This is the thing about HomeKit. It's like, this is a major platform for Apple, and I knew more about HomeKit than this Apple support tech. I mean, she was really nice and very helpful and sent me links to things and all, but, you know, I just kept saying, hey, if I want to set up this in you know, as a home hub for HomeKit, she didn't know what I was talking about.
What?
It's like, do you work for Apple or what?
Well, anyway. I mean, you can't expect somebody at Apple to know more than we do, Lewis.
Well, of course not.
We are like the tier three support. We're the guys you call when the guys you called don't know how to make it work.
Yeah.
So don't hold that against them. Okay, that's the quick set premise. You know what? I'll go next. Let Leander marinate on his choice and figure out what he's going to talk about. So my choice is something that I have pitched before on the show, which I absolutely loved, but it's been updated and it's even better now. It's the Arlo 2 wireless video security system. So the previous version was called the Arlo. Now they have the Arlo Pro 2. I should be specific. It's the Arlo Pro 2. These are the better cameras. And the main upgrade is they went from 720p to 1080p, which doesn't sound like it would make a big difference, but it is like night and day. These new cameras are so much sharper, so much more clear. You can see in the night so much better. You can see in the day, everything looks sharper. The colors look better. And that in and of itself, I think, is probably worth the reason to upgrade. If you have the older cameras, the new cameras are heads and tails better. Plus, they get even better battery life. They also have better sound and video detection, and they have a new feature called 3-second look back, where with the first version of the cameras, when motion came into the picture, it would kind of take like a second for like the cameras to actually start recording. But these work more like a TiVo now, where they're just kind of like recording, I think, more often. And when motion comes into the frame, it's actually able to start the recording from like 3 seconds before that happens. So you can see the entire video of the person coming into the frame and what they're doing, robbing you blind, so on and so forth. Now, I should add that these cameras are completely water resistant, weather resistant, so you can keep them outside, you can keep them inside, and they are part of a security system, as I mentioned. So you place the cameras around your property, around your house, and they connect to a base, and you can control everything via the Arlo app, which is one of the most polished, it is hands down the most polished wireless video review system and app I have ever seen. The app is incredible. You can arm and disarm your cameras from the app. You can set geofences so that when you leave your home, the cameras will activate and record if they hear a sound or if they see motion. You can specify what part of the frame you want them to track. So if there is like half the frame that you want the motion sensors to ignore, but half of them you want them to track, it will track just that part of the picture. It's packed with features, and it's so much better than everything else that I've tested out there, that if you're looking for something to kind of keep tabs on your home or your office when you're away, this is something I would highly recommend. They're not cheap. I think the base system, which comes with two cameras and the base station, I think it costs $400. It might be $350. I'd have to look it up. I'll put the price in the show notes. So it's not cheap, but it is the best of what's around. And it will let you know if someone's there trying to rob you, and then you can sound an alarm and hopefully scare them off or come, you know, running out with your nines and blast those fools. Those are the Arlo Pro 2. Leander, what do you got?
It's a helmet, a bicycle helmet.
Ooh.
Okay.
With built-in lights.
Woo!
Whoa.
Called the Lumos.
More blinking lights.
It's a theme. I love to have a little epileptic fit. Yeah, Lumos, L-U-M-O-S. And it's like a, you know, it's a road bike helmet, and it has a strip of lights at the front and then some lights at the back. And the lights at the back act as, it also has indicators, sorry, front and back. And there's a little dongle, Bluetooth dongle that you put on your handlebars. And so if you press it to go left, it'll fire up an arrow, a front and back, that shows
this is great.
Like a sign. It also has a brake light. So if you slow down, it detects the motion. It'll shine up, you know, like the light up on the back, yeah. Red. But uh-huh. I liked it because I saw these everywhere. You know, like as I'm driving around San Francisco, I'd see people with these helmets on, these Lumos helmets, and they're really, really visible. They're much better than, just lights, or they're as good as lights on the bike. And they're a great supplement to lights on the bike because it makes you so much more visible. I couldn't miss these, you know, and I was like, man, these helmets are really, really good. You know, they really make the rider visible. So I asked for a test one, and I've been testing it out, and I really like it. I think it's a really, really great
helmet. Dang, they're good-looking helmets, too.
Yeah, they are, yeah. White or black, one size fits all.
How did someone not think about this before? This seems like such an obvious idea once you see it.
Yeah, they have done. You know, I've been looking at helmet lights. Like, there's lights are one of those things. Do you have this kind of, you know, like little tools or flashlights? You know how they put them in hardware stores? And I would always buy like these little flashlights, these little inexpensive flashlights. And so I've got a whole collection of these things. Anyway, it's the same thing with bike lights. Like, just love good bike lights. I was looking at helmet bike lights. For my helmet for bikes, and uh-huh. Most of them are sort of aftermarket ones, you know, and you can spend a lot of money. There's some really nice ones, really powerful, but you know, they tend to be really expensive, and they kind of you have to strap on the helmet, and some of them look really kind of dorky, and you have to strap a battery pack on there as well. And yeah, I hadn't seen many with the lights integrated. These are actually integrated into the helmet, and it's right. Totally waterproof. It's totally unobtrusive. They're really, really bright. It's really easy to charge this thing up. It comes with a really good app that tells you the battery life of both the helmet and of the little turn signal dongle mm-hmm. that you put on your handlebars. Mm-hmm. You can change like all sorts of kind of different settings and get firmware updates. It's really, really well done. It's a really, really good quality product.
$180, yeah. Not cheap.
No, but that's probably what you'd spend for a good quality helmet. Well, I don't know. I guess you can get a good quality helmet for a lot cheaper than that. But
when you're riding a bike that costs more than most people's Land Rovers, this is the kind of helmet that you need.
That's right.
what price can you put on safety?
That's true. That's true. Especially in San Francisco. This is the ultimate status symbol. It's like, look at my helmet. It has lights. Oh, well, I don't even know where you're going. Your helmet doesn't have turn signals. Guess I'll have to hit you.
Do the brake lights work well?
I don't know because I'm not the one who's I can't see
right right
but you, good point
but you've seen them on other you said you've seen them on other bikes right
I haven't people. Actually seen the brake lights in action and I can't imagine it would work that well you know and I don't know if you're close enough to see a brake light and when you're driving a car behind a cyclist you know you're probably driving a bit too close
I don't know these LEDs are probably very bright would be my yeah. guess
well they're definitely they're, you know they're, I see them at junctions like when you pull up to a stop sign or a traffic light you know and
yeah.
or see people whizzing by
yeah
it's you know what I'd really noticed was like the front and the back lights and how bright they were and how visible they made the riders
you should try to operate the helmet with the helmet off your head then you could see the back
oh that's a pro good tip. Idea
Yeah. Okay. You can tell I test gadgets. You know, I think of these things. Okay, that's the Lumos bike helmets. We'll include links to everything in the show notes, of course. Buster, take us home.
Oh, man, I got something super exciting.
Really?
It's a battery pack.
Hell yeah. Whoa! Heck yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I love battery packs.
I know the battery packs aren't usually exciting because, like, you know, everybody's got a battery pack. But... if you're like most of my stuff that I have, like my camera gear, my DSLR, my drone, those batteries, they can't recharge via like a regular USB power bank, you know? So what I got is the Goal Zero Sherpa 100 power pack.
Goal Zero?
Yeah.
Sherpa. How do you spell that?
Sherpa. What, Goal Zero?
Goal Zero 100 Sherpa pack.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Basically, it just has way. It's like I don't know, industrial grade power bank for. You can charge your MacBook from it because it comes with a wall port that attaches to it, so you can recharge your MacBook, your drone, your DSLR, and it has like USB ports. It has some other fancy ports for like other laptop makers and stuff. But it's awesome for like when I'm hiking and everything and I want to shoot and have to recharge everything. It's I think the only battery pack I've found that's like really lightweight but still has an AC power port on it.
And does this have a solar recharging kit that comes with it?
Yeah, totally. Like you can recharge it via solar power too, which is another nice thing about it.
Do you have the solar recharging kit?
Oh, the Nomad 28 Plus solar panel pack thing.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out which option this is on Amazon.
I got that right here. And, okay. You know, you fold those thingies out, put it in the sun, and I think it recharges the power pack in like 10 hours.
Okay.
Which you can get, what, like it'll recharge your iPhone 10 times. It'll recharge my MacBook twice. So yeah, it's super.
This thing's a beast, man.
Oh, it's a beast. It's better than carrying around. Like they also have like some really big power packs that are like $400 that are like basically like car batteries that you recharge all the time. But this is a little bit more elegant solution.
How much does it weigh?
It's 2 pounds.
Okay, so yeah.
So this is the $350 model, right?
Yeah.
Look at us. Barely anything under 200 this episode.
Yeah.
It's rated really well on Amazon, though. It's got 157 reviews, 4 out of 5 stars.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a ton of juice in a little pack for, like, how light it is. And, yeah, the fact that it can recharge your MacBook and DSLR and all GoPro, all the other stuff is pretty friggin' awesome.
Nice, dude. Okay. The Goal Zero Sherpa 100. This includes the solar... recharger, right?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I put the right one in the show notes. Boom! Look at that. That's a good selection of products right there. I thought you guys were going to bring some weird toilet sprayer again, Lewis.
That you can only do that once, man.
Well, I think you did it several times in a row. I was like, is Lewis only reviewing toilet products, Lander? Do you know if that's all he's reviewing? I think it might be.
Wait a minute.
Well, he's in a bathroom remodel right now.
Unfairly maligned.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That is all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or you want to talk to us about anything that we mentioned in today's show, we're all on Twitter. I'm at Airfun. Buster's BST3R. Leander is at L. Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every single Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
I think I'm gonna do a Beastie Boys next time.
How would you do that?
Next. I can't do it.
Next time.
It's come out right, yeah.
We should practice that. Check, 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 check.
What is up?
There he is. Serious question for you, my bro.
What's up?
How's that record button doing?
It's there. It's there.
Has it been depressed?
I think so, yeah. It's on 28 seconds here.
Ooh. 28 seconds?
Yeah.
Good. I can put some breathing at the end of the show. Just you breathing. What's new?
Not much, not much. Well, car shopping now. Oh, the Fiat died. Yeah, so
the Fiat died.
Yeah, remember the Fiat?
I do remember the Fiat, but wasn't it brand new?
Oh yeah,
like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was. But you know, this is me. So,
how many miles did it have on it?
Only like 100,000.
And it died?
Well, it didn't die. It got hit, and so it got totaled.
Oh. So you didn't run it into the ground without oil or anything like that?
No, I wish.
You got in a car accident, though.
I didn't. It was like somebody hit me.
But you were in the car.
It was like in front of my house.
Your car was in front of your house and someone hit it?
Yeah.
Bad enough to destroy it?
Yeah, apparently it did like $4,000 of damage, and they were just like, this thing's totaled.
Well, I guess it's what? 10 years old? 7 years old?
7 years old, yeah.
So like after 7 years, it's probably not even worth that much.
Yeah.
What the hell were they doing?
I don't know.
Were they drunk?
I don't know. I didn't have anything on camera or anything.
Oh, so they didn't even stay? They left?
Yeah, it didn't even look bad. It just looked like my front bumper got broken.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think about that, Luis?
Sorry, I wasn't paying that close attention.
What? The heck out of here.
Buster's car got destroyed? What?
Buster's car was completely obliterated.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
That's not cool.
Yeah, it was hit. It was sitting in front of us. I'll retell the story. This is going to be exhilarating for you. I heard the whole thing. Let me relay the story to you. We're thinking about selling the movie rights.
This time
Buster was in his house. He heard an unearthly shattering outside. And he went running outside. He was completely nude. He was in the shower.
Yeah. No way.
And he went completely outside. And just imagine how much lather is on him, right? I mean, he's covered in hair. You know how well hair lathers. So he is covered from head to mid-torso just covered in lather. So he goes running outside, ding-a-ling-a swinging. And there is his car completely obliterated into 100,000 pieces. Somebody had hit it while he was in the shower and then taken off. And so his car is destroyed. Leander, are you there?
Yeah, yeah. Whose car is this? Buster's.
Buster's.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of car?
Jeez. It was a Fiat. So easy to destroy.
What happened, Buster?
Don't listen. Nothing. God.
Nothing?
Now, I embellished the last part of that story only slightly to make it more interesting.
What did your insurance company say?
The main plot points are there.
Yeah.